thing that we have three departments, and it is possible that some may not know us. I would therefore introduce myself and allow members of the portfolio committee to introduce themselves. We will request that at the time when departments make their presentation, they will then introduce their delegation. Like I've said, I'm Cindy Chikunga. I am the member of the Portfolio Committee on Police, and I'm also the chairperson of the Portfolio Committee. Let me then allow members of the Portfolio Committee to introduce themselves.
Morning, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Lukhetho, a member of the committee.
Goedemorgen, dus Pieter Groenewald, aan de member of the committee in Freedom Front Plus.
Good morning. My name is Bela Pinder, a member of this committee.
My name is Lulegi George, a member of this committee.
Hi, good morning. Greg Schneeman, also a member of this committee.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Angie Mulivati. I'm also a member of this committee. Thank you.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Mpoe Naswati, member of this committee coming from the DA.
And I'm Diane Kolobarnard, also a member of this committee, also DA. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Let's also welcome the chairperson of the Portfolio Committee on the PW.
Good morning, honourable members, our guests. My name is Catherine Mabuza, chairperson of the Department of Works Portfolio Committee. Thank you.
No, thank you very, very much. Let me once more take this opportunity to welcome the Department of, in fact, the ICT, Department of Public Works, National Treasury, as well as members of the Portfolio Committee to this meeting. I would also want to welcome members of the public, of the media that are present here with us. And possibly we might not meet in Parliament this year again. I just want to take this opportunity to appreciate those that are always with us in our meetings, particularly from the media, and who take interest in the work that this Portfolio Committee is doing, and who continuously appreciate our work but also criticize us objectively where they think we're not doing well. And in that way, we have become stronger each day. We therefore take their criticism positively, as we believe that it always aims to strengthen us. But also we appreciate the fact that we believe their reporting has always been constructive and very truthful, where probably there had been some wrong or not that correct or accurate reporting, it would have been out of honesty, not out of people being malicious about us, and we managed to correct anything that we thought maybe it would have not been, it was not properly reported, and it has always been corrected. So I just want to really extend our appreciation to the media people that are always in our meetings. Let me also say that as the Portfolio Committee, we have a responsibility. That responsibility is to do our work without any fear and without any favor, and to be seen to be consistent in whatever that we are doing. If we say this is wrong, we believe that we've got to maintain that it is wrong. It doesn't matter as to who is involved. And when we say this is okay or this is right, we say that to whoever, and we maintain consistency in whatever that we are saying. Let me state that on the 1st of November this year, the Independent Complaints Directorate appeared before the Portfolio Committee on Police to table its 2010-11 annual report. In that meeting, members of the Portfolio Committee, and to be specific, the Honorable Member Annelies van Wyk, asked the question on why there has been such a sharp increase in the ICD spending on operating leases from 4,232,000 in 2009-10 to 15.5 million in 2010-11, as reflected in the ICD financial statement. Responding to that question, ICD requested to answer that question in writing. Members of the Portfolio Committee were not happy with that answer, as they expected the ICD to be in a position to answer any question related to everything in their annual report, that is, in their financial statement, the AGU report, and even related to their core business information. However, the chairperson allowed the ICD to respond to the question in writing, but she further said they would then have to present the written response in a meeting which eventually took place on the 15th of November this year, which is last Tuesday. In the meeting, the ICD presented its written response or responses to the meeting. Following the presentation, members asked questions. These were probing questions. The ICD tried to answer members' questions. However, as the ICD was responding to members' questions, it became clearer that we needed the DPW to be present in the meeting, and to some extent, the National Treasury as well. Let me say it here and now that we are aware that the Minister of Police requested the Public Protector to investigate this lease agreement. In this regard, I want to refer the meeting to Section 92 of the Public Protector Act, Act number 23 of 1994, which provides as follows, open quote, nothing contained in this act shall prohibit the discussion in Parliament of a matter being investigated or which has been investigated in terms of this act by the Public Protector, close quote. This means that there is nothing in law that prohibits this committee from proceeding with our meeting and to ask and be provided with more information on the ICD lease agreement. The question then is, why do we want clarity on what next? First, it is because it is our constitutional mandate to maintain oversight of the exercise of national executive authority and to maintain oversight of any organ of state. So yes, we are indeed doing our work. Secondly, we want to be assured that all actions taken were within the legal framework. That is, it was in line with the legislation, regulations, rules, and procedures. Section 38(2) of the Public Finance Management Act states that, and I quote, an accounting officer may not commit a department, trading inter-entity, or constitutional institution to any liability for which money has not been appropriated. Close quote. Members, however, section 39 of the PFMA is also clear on the responsibilities of the accounting officer in relation to budgetary control. I want to inform the meeting that Mr. Rushabango wrote a letter to the chairperson requesting to be part of this meeting and directed it to Ayanda Boss, our former secretary. And the chairperson only saw that letter yesterday after the sitting of the House. That was after, in fact, it was 7-ish. We tried to get hold of Mr. Shabango to check if it was still possible for him to join this meeting as per his request. However, it was too late and therefore he could not be in this meeting. I must place it on record that it came from him and not from ourselves. Normally, we wouldn't have invited him, as there had not been in any of our meetings the mentioning of Rushabango as the owner of the building. But of course, he asked himself, there is a letter here with me that was directed to the chairperson from Rushabango requesting to be part of the meeting. He unfortunately could not be in the meeting because we only got that letter very late yesterday. The presentation will be in this manner. We're going to allow ICT to take us through its document, followed by the Department of Public Works. They have requested and granted permission by the chairperson not to distribute any document to the meeting, but of course to speak to their notes, and that has been granted by the chairperson. We will then lastly ask Treasury to make a presentation. Following the three presentations, we will then allow members to ask questions. We have allocated 20 minutes to ICT, 20 minutes to DPW, and of course Treasury. We have allocated 10 minutes. I want to believe that they may even take less than 10 minutes if we check their presentation. In that order, will allow the ICT to present its document. Thanks.
Chair, could I just clarify or ask a question, please? I'm a bit confused. I wrote to you as a member of the committee asking that Mr. Shabango be invited to this meeting. I had a phone call from the committee secretary saying somehow she had mislaid the letter that you had written to me and had lost it. She then said this morning, no, the decision was that it wasn't necessary to have him here. And yet now I hear that actually Mr. Shabango had asked himself to be at this meeting. Certainly it was discovered that Mr. Shabango owned the building, as he's owned many other buildings that seem to be leased by Public Works, and I thought it was crucial that he was here at this meeting. So I'm actually not sure what's happened here. Why did we not invite him immediately when perhaps on receipt of my letter? I don't understand how it can be that it would be acceptable if he asked to be here, but not acceptable if a member of the committee asked him to be invited. Please just clarify that for me.
Yeah, we whatever that we do as the portfolio committee, it depends on facts that are before the portfolio committee. It would be very difficult to be acting on the basis of rumors. We will therefore, nobody in the meeting, except for what I read in the letter that came to me from Honorable Kolapana, and what I read on newspaper, nobody in the meeting stated that the building belonged to Rushabango. And on the basis of that, we're not going to invite a person on the basis of any information other than sexual information. I just want to leave it at that, and I don't think at this moment we want to discuss this matter. And therefore, Rushabango was not invited by the chairperson. However, Rushabango, on the basis of what he saw on the media about his name, he then wrote a letter to the chairperson requesting to be part of the meeting. Requesting to be part of the meeting. Unfortunately, like I'm saying, I only saw the letter yesterday after the house meeting. And we tried to phone Mr. Sabango, but it was too late. First, it was he was in the meeting. Second, we got hold of him, but it was very late, and therefore we could not be in the meeting. However, we're not going to re-invite the meeting. Mr. Sabango, on the rumor that he owns the building. What if he does not? What would we have said to invite him to the meeting and discover when he is in the meeting that he's not the owner of the building? What would we have said? So we would definitely not act on any issue on the basis of speculation and rumors. There is a high possibility that the building we're talking about may not actually be belonging to Roshaban. And I don't know as to whether should we apologize to him if it is found that it's not his building. But let me raise it no hands on this one issue. Let me allow ICD to take us through. Okay?
Question, Madam Chair, I hear you saying ICD is going to make a presentation. I just wanted to be clear. They made a presentation where we asked a lot of questions. Is this presentation also in line with that? Yeah, that's my first question. Second question. I hear Public Works says they are not going to, if I had it correctly, I just wanted to be clear. They've got a document which they're going to speak on, but they don't want to be included. I just wanted to hear that I understood that correctly, because I can't understand or believe that there's a document from a State Department which can't be displayed to members of Parliament.
The ICT, in fact, I think it's a good question. They have prepared a document. However, we would wish that they also refer to the document that they presented to us in the meeting of the 15th of November, so that DPW and well as Treasury can benefit out of that presentation. And then, of course, present the document that they prepared for this meeting. And I'm saying that because the document that you prepared for this meeting is responding to questions. However, it may not put or give background to those that were not in the meeting of what transpired in the meeting of the 15th. We have allowed the Department of Public Works not to speak to their notes for many reasons, and they've communicated those reasons to the chapter, and it is allowed. I see.
Thank you very much, Honourable Chairperson. Thank you very much for the opportunity for ICD to leave the committee this morning. Chairperson, maybe just as an introduction, to also respond to two issues you've mentioned, we can confirm that the public protector has written to us last Friday, indicating that there is an investigation regarding this matter. 13 issues were indicated that we must provide further information to the public protector, and we will do that during the course of next week, providing all the documentation, all records, and we will then do that. Secondly, Chairperson, I must also indicate, because that has got, I think, a significant effect on this whole matter, we were CC'd yesterday in a letter by Mr. Rusha Bangu. It was also sent to the Minister of Public Works, the Public Protector, and the Secretary of the Portfolio Committee, in which he indicates that he is indeed not the owner of this building. And he sold this building in 2009. So it raises questions of legality. We won't go into that, but of course the legal opinion we are currently sorting will also deal with that, because that will have implication also in terms of our position, in terms of the lease, as well as the service level agreement with Public Works. In terms of a presentation, Chairperson, according to the PMG report, there was 49 questions asked by members of Parliament to us last week, and 27 are more or less the same. If I then can just go to the questions that was raised by the members, and to answer Mr. George's question, our presentation is really to deal with those questions raised by the members.
So that is the bulk of our presentation. The first issue that was raised by members on slide 3, why did the ICD move to the City Forum building? We've also indicated at the previous meeting as a background to members who went there that two buildings occupied by ICD were leased during 2009 to the Department of Rural Development and the South African Social Security Agency at higher lease amounts while the ICD was in occupation. The ICD became aware on 27 January 2010 of legal action instituted against it for 2,400,000 rand plus interest by the owner of the ONB building for failure to vacate the building. Refurbishments of the ONB building and ICD house for occupation by new tenants was carried out while the ICD was in the building. Structura was not ready for occupation despite numerous agreed dates from May 2009 to January 2010. A swap was proposed by Public Works on 29 January 2010 that ICD moved to the City Forum and the Department of Human Settlements to move the Structura building. A copy of the lease for the City Forum building was requested by the ICD from DPW on 3 February 2010. The copy of the lease was received in November 2010 after the ICD had occupied the building. A request was made for alternative accommodation and reimbursement for costs incurred at the Structura building. DPW responded that if the ICD does not occupy the City Forum building, there would be fruitless expenditure. No alternative accommodation was offered to ICD despite a formal request. Threat of litigation for continued occupation of the ONB building was raised by DPW. Slide 5, there was a question, what is the square meter cost of City Forum? The cost of the City Forum building is currently 160 rand per square meter. This price includes parking cost of 90 rand per square meter. Then there was a question, Honourable Chairperson, by one member who asked, what is the comparison between the ICD house of Mercedes Structura and City Forum? If we take it as it has been on 23 November, taking leases and escalations into account, old Mercedes would have been just more than 1 million rand, ICD house more than 2 million, Structura 4.6, and City Forum at 10.5. That's the annual rate, based on the ICD budget commitment of 6190. Then there was a question by a member, what was the role of ICD in the procurement of these buildings? As a client department, the ICD's role in the procurement of these buildings is limited to identifying a need for accommodation, submitting a needs analysis to DPW, planning and budgeting for estimated expenditure, and providing the DPW with confirmation that funding is available. This role does not include any involvement in negotiations or conclusion of property leases. In the case of the City Forum, no choice was provided despite ICD having requested the availability of alternative buildings. Honourable Chairperson, there was a question that how did the ICD staff complement change since 2007 and what conditions are planned? We've indicated that in 2007 we had 80, 2008, 83, 2009, 89, 2010, 99. Our current staff complement is 108. And in terms of the ICOP proposal, that will reach a level of 142 in the outer year of 2014-2015, depending on funding. Then there was a question, what were the needs expressed by the ICD and communicated to DPW? In 2007, there was a needs analysis. In October 2007, the ICD communicated its needs for 3,133.2 square meters and 27 parking bays. The DPW approved 3,246.25 square meters. In 2008, there was a needs analysis. The ICD expressed a need for 23 additional parking bays. This addition was approved in September 2008, bringing the revised approval space to 333.75 square meters. In February 2010, the ICD revised the need analysis to 4641 square meters and 105 parking bays.
Then question six, why was the 2007 needs analysis revised? The revision of the needs analysis in 2008 was with regard to the addition of 23 parking bays. At that point in time, the head office staff complement was already at 83. The needs analysis was revised in 2010 due to the impending increase of staff in anticipation of ICAS. Then I think there was a question by the Honourable Kundervald, what was the cost and conditions relating to the Mankies building? The Mankies building was one of the 8 buildings proposed by the DPW. Client departments are formally informed about the price of the buildings upon receipt of a cost analysis by DPW. Although the ICD recommended the Mankies building as a result of the unavailability of structure at this stage, the procurement process related to this building never progressed to the point where the DPW produced a cost analysis to the ICD. The conditions stipulated for occupation of the Mankies building related to extensive renovations to cater for disability access and to restrict the pedestrian routes along the building. Other conditions relating to additional parking and structural changes with regard to toilets and office layout. Then there was various members, and I think also the chairperson, who raised the question, was the ICD compelled to move into the City Forum building, or did it have the right to refuse? The ICD was compelled to move since it was occupying 2 buildings for which the DPW was already entered into new leases. In January 2010, the owner of the OMB building instituted legal action against the DPW and ICD for the differences in rental, as the rent negotiated by DPW in the new lease was more than twice that than paid by the ICD. In addition, this owner also attempted to evict the ICD from the OMB building. As previously indicated, Honourable Chairperson, as well, that is the question of the contingent liability that is in the financial statements. ICD was supposed to occupy the Statura building in May 2009, which was postponed to June 2009 and then to September 2009, as the building was not yet ready for occupation. A meeting between ICD and DPW was held on 29 January 2010 to discuss the way forward. In the very same meeting, DPW proposed that the department swap building so that ICD will move to the City Forum building and the Department of Human Settlements to the Statura building. ICD submitted a letter showing interest to occupy the City Forum building together with a request for a copy of the lease agreement, advice on the availability of alternative buildings and reimbursement of expenditure incurred at the Statura building. And DPW responded in writing on the 5th of February that if the ICD does not occupy the City Forum building, fruitless expenditure will be incurred as DPW will not have a justification of securing other buildings and ignoring existing commitments. Then there's a further letter on the 5th of March 2010 where DPW confirmed that there's no options or alternative buildings available to ICD. Then there was a question, was the ICD legally obliged to move to the City Forum building? A client department can refuse to a specific proposed building, however, according to the information at ICD's disposal at that time, there were no valid reasons to refuse to move to the City Forum building. In fact, in the light of the letter by DPW 5 February 2010, DPW indicated that it is compulsory for the ICD to move to the City Forum building. Further reasons were the expiry of the lease agreement in respect of the 2 buildings that the ICD was occupying at that time, ICD House and OMB, the incurrence of possible fruitless expenditure if litigation against ICD was successful, and inability to operate effectively as the tenant of the ICD House and OMB already commenced with the refurbishment of the buildings. Then there was a question under the chairperson, why agree to occupy the City Forum building without sufficient budget? The amount set budget for the ICD's national office accommodation in 2007 was 619 million. This was the amount communicated to DPW. Contrary to the prescripts of the director from key accounts management, DPW did not communicate a change in the cost implications to the ICD. Furthermore, during a meeting between the ICD and DPW on 18 February 2010, the DPW confirmed that in respect of City Forum building there was no increase in the commitment made in respect of Centura. Then there was a question, why agree to occupy the City Forum building without sufficient, this continuation? Client department's decisions on leased properties and the procurement process is informed and in fact dependent on advice and information provided by the DPW. In fact, in terms of the service level agreement between ICD and DPW, the NDPW will obtain the written consent of user department before awarding any acquisition contracts at a value above the amounts budget for the acquisition in the implementation programs. NDPW will also obtain the written consent of the user department before approving variation orders, which increase the value of any acquisition above the amount budgeted. The DPW did not, in this case, communicate additional cost implications of the supporting buildings with the ICD. Then there was a question, Chairperson, did the ICD query the suitability of the City Forum building? Our response, the City Forum building is suitable and complies with State Security Agency formerly NIAS specifications and SAS physical security requirements. What are the NIAS specifications for departments like the ICD? Due to the legal mandate of the ICD, extra security measures are required, such as secure offices and boardrooms, construction and thickness of walls, door locks, strong rooms, access control to the building and fire protection. The official list of requirements is classified. Does the City Forum building comply with NIAR requirements? That was also a question posed by one of the members. The NIAR, now SSA, indicated that the City Forum building complies with the security requirements. Then there was a question, Honourable Chairperson, did the ICD do any renovations of City Forum? The ICD did not do any structural renovations. However, below is a list of refurbishments done by the ICD in the City Forum building, and we also indicate the service providers, the service rendered, and the expenditure. We also made that available at the previous meeting to honourable members. Chairperson, there was a question, why was there a change in the eligibility of the Scriptura building after initially being BEE non-compliant? The assessment of property bids in terms of its BEE compliance is part of the DPW's procurement process in which client departments are not involved. The ICD can therefore not comment on this assessment. Then there was a question raised on how much did we pay for cabling at Scriptura. The ICD spent $770,000 on the installation of network cabling in Scriptura building. The Department of Human Settlements, that was originally destined for City Forum, spent $551,000 on cabling and security installations at City Forum. A set-off for the recovery of 218-208 was arranged with DHS in this regard. Then there was a member that was concerned if there any arrangements to recover that cost. Question 16, the ICD has corresponded with the Department of Human Settlements for the recovery of the $280,000. DPW communicated to ICD that Human Settlements has confirmed in principle its willingness to reimburse the ICD. We are currently awaiting that reimbursement. Question 17, and I think Honourable Schneeman asked that question. Why did the ICD spend money on the Scriptura building if it did not comply with NIAR requirements? The NIAR indicated that the Scriptura building can comply with security requirements if certain refurbishments were done in respect of the building. However, during that long process, the landlord could not deliver in that regard. Then there was a question raised by one of the members, were any of the previous buildings owned by Mr. Risha Bangu? Our response is this information does not fall within ICD's knowledge. Then, what is the legality of the City Forum building procurement process? Our response, the lease agreement was already entered into by the DPW by the time that the ICD became involved. Therefore, the ICD did not take any part in the procurement process. Also, I've also indicated on the chairperson, in view of that letter that we received yesterday, it is quite clear that further legal advice will be needed on this issue. Then there was a question, Honourable Chairperson, why not consider purchasing your own building? According to the advice by National Treasury, the ICD is too small as a department to purchase its own building and therefore it will not be financially viable. Then there was a question by Honourable Member regarding what was the expense related to the disability equipment indicated in the statement. maybe just to indicate, it was an internal disability event in 2008, for which it required a wheelchair and the hiring cost amounted to 150 rand. Then, Honourable Chairperson, there was a question, does the lease agreement comply with JAMA? Lease agreements are the responsibility of the DPW, therefore compliance with JAMA in relation to lease agreements fall within their responsibility. Then again, I think an issue that was also raised again in the previous meeting, the breakdown of the operating leases amount, just to indicate again how it is compiled. The backdating, that is from 2006 to 2010, that's in the red, the backdated billing, that 4.4 million. In terms of Structura, in terms of City Forum, of that 15 million, an amount of 5.5 million was paid in the year under review for that building. And then all other rent is that orange, is that purple, 5.3 million. Honourable Chairperson, there was a question, what is backdated billing? Due to an administration error on the part of DPW, the DPW did not build apartments timely and correctly. As a result, backdated invoices were issued for an estimate on the total amount. There was a further follow-up question, why were the backdated invoices later adjusted? The backdated invoices were adjusted as a result of complaints arising from incorrect invoices. Chairperson, another question, we also dealt with that in our presentation last time, but just again to indicate, what is the financial implications of the increased rental? If the ICD proceed to pay the contractual amount of the City Forum building, there will be financial implications for the ICD, and I think we've indicated in our presentation last time the exact detail. The legality of the service legal agreement between the ICD and DPW and the validity of the lease agreement for the City Forum building, as we said, is currently subject to legal opinion. Then there was a question, I think, by the Honourable Kola Barnard. Is there a link between the high rent and the ICD not achieving its targets? We're saying there's no link between the high rent and the ICD not achieving its targets. And then question 28, why is ICD requesting funding and not DPW? The ICD is dedicated to fulfill its financial obligations. It is therefore currently seeking legal opinion on the matter and engaging with National Charity in order to sufficiently fund its current lease commitment and to make provision for anticipated shortfalls in this regard. A formal request will be submitted as part of the E&E process for sufficient funding of all leases. Then in conclusion, the ICD was not allowed to source its own accommodation but had to rely on DPW. The process to secure head office accommodation started in October 2007 and lasted almost 3 years. The ICD asked for alternative options, none were presented. We were facing a 2.4 million lawsuit, which had now escalated to 9 million, that second respondent, and the ICD was effectively facing eviction from the buildings it occupied at that time. Honourable Chairperson, that deals with all the questions raised by members of the previous week.
Thank you very much, DPW.
Good morning, Honourable Chairperson, Chairperson also of the Public Service Fellow Committee and members of the committee and colleagues. Chairperson, I'll be presenting not necessarily in order of the issues that have been raised by my colleagues from the ICD. I'll just be, providing some clarity on some of the issues. And I'm also just indicate that there will be some gaps in our information, which I regret profusely.
Can you introduce yourself and I'm specifically requesting that because in the letter that we sent to DPW, we specifically invited a person who dealt with the sleep specifically, and of course any other thing that including the accounting officer, however, we also invited a person who dealt with this case, to be present in the meeting. So probably you would introduce yourself and tell as to what your role was, or if there was any role altogether in this case.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson. My name is Bucha Matuke. I'm the Acting Chief Operations Officer of the Department of Public Works. The Acting DG, unfortunately, is unable to join us today, but probably our team, because they are presenting in cabinet with the Minister as we speak. And the official directly responsible is not here today. And the team that is here did not have any direct role in the list. I'm just providing leadership to the team just so that we're able to provide information where it's required. But information has been prepared from internally.
So can we just find out? You made it clear that the committee asked for the official who was involved to be at the committee meeting. It was just indicated to us that that person is not here, but the reason was not given. Can we get a reason for why the person is not here?
No, no, I'm sorry, I think, because that's the question I was going to ask, because it was clear, and I have not heard, because the person who we understand is the acting director general. She has not said why the person who was supposed to be here is not here. We accompany, not even accompany them. It was already started in a very dicey manner to say there is a gap in whatever I'm going to do.
Thank you again, Chairman. Accompanying me here is Mrs. Safa Subban. She's the DDG for A, which is Asset Investment Management in the department. The person who I hear now was also invited. I must be frank, Chairperson, I was not aware that he was invited. I'm not aware of the reason why the person is not here.
Okay, you can continue with the open report.
Thank you, Chairperson. ICD, as mentioned by the head, had been occupying two buildings in Victoria, AG, Action Citizens and the ICD House. And in 2007, the ICD approached the Department of Public Works to secure an alternative accommodation by 2008, when the above lease is terminated. Part of the plan was also to consolidate operations of ICD, which was a concern they had raised to the department. A procurement instruction was therefore issued by CAM, which is Key Account Management in the Department of Public Works, in December 2007, for the region to secure the required accommodation by August 2008. On receipt of the procurement instruction, the Pretoria Regional Office approached the relevant committees and a tender was advertised in February 2008, and the reference number for it is PT08/008. On closing of the tender in March 2008, four bidders tendered, and it was Structura Building was one of those tenders. The other tenderers are not mentioned. This is something that's not to be that careful. Structura Building is mentioned in some of the tenderers. In April 2008, an inspection and evaluation process indicated that the bidders did not meet the minimal functionality criteria. In view of the above, relevant committees were approached and granted approval for lapsing of the tender. And in May 2008, a request to nominate four bidders from the Property Incubator Program database. Property Incubator Program is a transformation policy within the department that tries to grow and develop your property entrepreneurs or entrants in the property market. So here in May 2008, a request to nominate four bidders from the database of the PIP was tabled for the relevant committees of the department. However, these bidders could not provide the required assistance in July 2008. And in July 2008, again, the department approached owners of buildings in Victoria to provide the required space. And in the course of that process, new owners of the Structura Building made the building available for occupation by national government. When approached for consent, the client concurred in a letter dated 21st of the 7th month, July 2008. And on the 22nd of July, the bid committee of the department recommended the approval of the lease with the new owners to the Director General of the department, in line with Circular 4, 2007, which circular actually only allowed DG and ex-co members to approve and support any procurement above 2 million rand, with the role of regions limited to recommendation. So it means that the regions, which are in the provinces, our provincial administration arms, only recommended to national for approval. And the DG had to be the final signatory in approval of such a transaction. In line with above circular, approval was therefore granted on the following terms: 3,887 square meters at 70 rand per square meter, including VAT, 27 parking bays.
Can you repeat those figures?
3,887 square meters at 70 rand per square meter, excluding VAT. 27 bays at 438 rand 59 cents, excluding VAT, at 9% escalation rate. Yeah, no. The contract, it is stated here, was for 8 years and 11 months. The lease agreement was signed on 15 October 2008 in line with the BEE strategy. The landlord was therefore obliged, in line with the provisions of Section 2, to reconfigure the building to suit the client needs, in line with space planning documents signed. On completion of the upgrade, after a considerable delay of almost a year by the landlord to complete the project, the client outlined the challenge of the building, space planning not accommodating its furniture, and the delay in issuing of certificate by the landlord, compliance certificate. In the midst of the delay, the ICD directly negotiated a lease renewal for ICD House, old building, which had an effect on rental expenditure, and this action was irregular. DPW intervened and settled on the following terms: 54 rand, 54 cents per square meter, including VAT. In 2010, the landlord issued the relevant certificate in order to allow occupation of the building. Despite the above certificate, the client refused occupation of the building for reasons outlined under bullet number 19, which is on completion of the upgrade. The condition was that the upgrade must be completed first before the client occupies. Space planning, fitting of the furniture, all those requirements. In view of the signed planning document by the client, infrastructure installed by the client, infrastructure installed by client, IT and telecom, clause 8 of the lease agreement, which may lead to possible litigation of future expenditure, ICD was therefore engaged and provided with the option of occupying 114 Vermeulen Street on a swap deal with Human Settlement, occupying the structural building.
In fact, I wanted to actually request you to not to be too fast now, because we have to, we don't have anything. We're taking notes, and I think somehow you're too fast. And in fact, I wished you could come and sit here, but I thought it would be unfair, because we can't hear. We're trying to listen carefully and to take notes, and you're too far. Probably if you could sit just in front of him so that we can hear what he's saying. I wonder, Chair, if we might have a copy of the gentleman's document. It's very difficult when we have nothing to refer to or look back on, and there are figures and it's just very bizarre that we have a presentation and don't actually have something in writing. Could we make, perhaps have copies made of the documents, please? Let's allow them to finish their presentation, and when they are done, then we'll really decide, because I did not see the document, but however, I got some request, in fact, some explanation as to why it could not be made, and I'm listening carefully, trying to pick up things that would probably make them not to give us a document, and on the basis of that, then we can request to get documents. They explained to me, and I understood what they were saying. However, I'm trying to listen carefully so that I can pick up as to why can't we have this document. Okay. You can please, and please don't be too, particularly when it comes to figures and it comes to decisions. Please, thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. I regret for being fucked. I'll try to be as long. The last paragraph that I was referred back to reads as follows. In view of the signed base planning document by the client, that is the ICD, such infrastructure installed by the client, IT and Telcom, that the infrastructure we're referring to here, in terms of clause 8 of the lease agreement, which may lead to some litigation and fruitless expenditure, ICD was therefore engaged by the Department of Public Works, you know, to consider the soft deal, provided the option of occupying for $1,114,114 with human settlement, occupying statute. Procurement of 114 for Remain Street, Department of Human Settlement. A procurement instruction was issued on 5/11/2007. There is now also mentioning the other one, just so that we create a proper context to check this. Encourage. Procurement strategy for an open procedure approved was approved on the 31st of January 2008, with the tender advertised on the 22nd of February 2008. On closing of the tender in March 2008, two bidders had expressed interest, but they were found to be non-responsive. On 14 May 2008, approval was obtained to lapse the tender. And on the 11th of June 2008, the approval for a negotiated procedure with MATI Properties, MATI Properties, to conclude the lease was adjudicated. On 25th of September, 25th of the 8th month 2008, the Director General granted approval in line with Regular 4 of 2007, which allowed only EXCO and EXCO members to support all submissions above 2 million rand for digital approval. And again, the regional office's role being limited to recommending. On the 18th of June 2008, an acceptance of offer was issued in favor of MATI Properties at the rate of 62 rand 70 cents per square meter. And then 456 rand for parking base at 8% escalation. Then, the acceptance of the above was informed by the deed of sale between MATI Properties and Bamboo Rock, a subsidiary of SHM Group of Companies. The implications of the swap were as follows. Rental cost for structure at commencement were to be 70 rand per square meter, VAT exclusive, at 3,887 square meters, and also at 9% escalation. $500 per bay, VAT exclusive, 27 parking bays, and they're also going to be at 9% escalation. Then, for Merlin Street 114, at commencement, the implications were going to be 80 rand per square meter, VAT exclusive, 7,614 square meters, which is going to be a 10% escalation. And for parking base, it was going to be 438 rand, VAT exclusive, at 102 parking base, The escalation was also going to be at 10%. The difference in rental was going to be 10 rands per square meter VAT exclusive. And also 1% escalation rate difference. Because that one spoke about 9% and that one was 10% escalation. Comparable transactions. In the same period of acquisition of the Arturo and 114 Vermeulen Street, the department invited tenders under bid no PT08/005.
Okay. Can we request the presenter to call the buildings by name and not by the name? Because right now it's even mentioning Vermeulen Street and so on.
Thank you, Chairperson. Vermeulen is City Forum. The City Forum building. Comparable transaction. In the same period of acquisition of the Tortuga building and City Forum, it was an invited tender under the bid that I've mentioned for occupation by SASA. On closing of the tenders, the market presented the rates below. X Mercedes-Benz building. Lettable area was 1,229.91 for offices and for parking 26 parking bays. Tariff 124.69 per square meter. For parking it was going to be 255.79 per bay. VAT was going to be for the offices 17.36. And for parking, it was going to be 35.81. The total for offices was going to be 141.36 per square meter. And for parking, it was going to be 291.60 per day. IT and telecom infrastructure. Human settlement, ICB. You know, Chairperson, this is the way, again, some of the information is not very, very clear. You know, because it says IT are 700,000 rand unknown under human settlement. Tenant installation, security measures, human settlement. One, no investment on security upgrade, only physical security. Two, accepted the ICD layout and occupied the building. Which means the settlement proceeded to occupy the building and had no issues with the modifications that were requested by ICD or the layout. On the side of the ICD, they invested 2.8 million rand on security measures in that building. They did not accept Department of Human Settlements configuration and suggested major changes in line with the signed layout plan. Size of the building and impact thereof based on space procured or space swapped. Human settlement, the City Forum building, the space was going to be 7,614 square meters. The parking bays were going to be 102. And for the ICD, infrastructure building, the square meter is going to be 3,897 with only 27 parking bays. And the reflections on ICD possibly rental expenditure or footless expenditure. Non-occupation of the building would lead to footless expenditure on IT and telecom installed in infrastructure. The damages claimed by the landlord in line with the date of the lease resulting on interest charged on unpaid rentals and legal costs. Again, the issue of the ICD is direct negotiations with the owner of the Mercedes Benz without the involvement of the Department of Public Works and committed the state on a rental amount of 154. This is thousands, the way it's not thousands. 164,000 per month. ICD negotiated, engaged with the client in negotiations without the involvement of the department. Which means they negotiated with the owner of the ex-Mercedes Benz without the involvement of the department, and committed the state to a rental of that 154,000 rand per month for 67,000 per month. Legal costs, if any, emanating from the legal litigation process, which by landlord to enforce the above adjustment. Layout plans signed without consideration of the furniture specification, resulting in further delay of occupation of the building. Major reconsideration of the city forum building to suit their needs, including security measures, as opposed to occupying it as it was. Demands to be provided with accommodation options other than the city forum building. This resulted into a major for the expenditure. And the issue of the implications for the Department of Human Settlement possible to relax condition. The delay in signing space planning documents, which strengthened the landlord's enforcement of Clause 8 of the lease agreement. IT and telecom infrastructure installed would have been fruitless if not if the building was not occupied. And the cost of deploying physical security for the period of non-occupancy was also going to be a challenge. So was the case with regard to deploying physical security a dear colleague letter from the Department of Management, former accounting officer to DPRB, former accounting officer committing on the 1st of January 2009 to occupation of that building. That letter also provided and gave some kind of a dynamic to the situation. But the Human Settlement demand for additional accommodation in the midst of a vacancy for 101 floor Premier Street, which is the city forum building. Human Settlement disregard of city of the expenditure letter. They were written to by the department for raising this matter with them. This was the case with ICD. Did there be the implications for us, particularly of the fruitless or irregular expenditure? We paid rental of the City Forum building from July 2009 up to and including August 2010, in line with the provisions of the lease commencement date. Furthermore, the legal services opinion obtained was in favor of the rental being paid from July. The government delayed in enforcing the mora and recovery of the cost incurred by the department to effect compliance issues. These are issues that were also raised by the head of the ICD. The purchase price of the property by Multi Properties was 23 million rand, with only 70%, which is 16 million, market value being financed, with the 30% being a gentleman's agreement between the seller and the purchaser, a unique arrangement which places doubt on the principle of arm's length. On 25 May 2008, an agent of the seller in an email to Department of Public Works bore no knowledge of the existence of the above transaction, either say, placing further doubt on confirming suspicion of the strange 70% to 30% arrangement. Due to the department's policy of not signing leases with entities not owning at the time, Multi Properties could not take transfer of the property. It means that if you were not the owner, we would not sign a lease agreement with you. In August 2008, the seller, SHM Group, signed a deed of sale with Majestic Silver. The purchase price was 23 million rand. However, this sale was not subject to a 70%, 30% arrangement, which therefore confirmed an increase of 16 million rand from one buyer to the other, and further benefiting the seller unfairly. And in conclusion, conclusion, Chairperson, in view of the above, an offer from Majestic Silver, informed by the deed of sale and guaranteed issued by Investec Bank, you know, was therefore tabled before the relevant committee for approval in line with Circular 4 of 2007. This circular, Chairperson, has been repeating and explaining it that it only meant that the authority was with the executive committee of the department, which will then finally recommend to the accounting officer who would approve. The above circumstances therefore confirmed that the change of market value as per the purchase price between one buyer to the other had a major effect on the rental, with a new buyer injecting an estimated amount of 15 million rand upgrade and TI above the 23 million purchase price. TI stands for tenant installation. My apologies. If the above circumstances and other transactions are taken into account in line with the industry norms, it is evident that only the sellers benefit with the entities who remain, with a huge debt to service and the state expected to pay increased arrival rates, contrary to the property review guidelines. And Chairperson, the one thing that I just want to raise very quickly before I conclude is that the figures that we've mentioned here are really a subject of much verification by ourselves in the department. I will not really vouch for them. And this is a report directly prepared by the official responsible for the list procurement, the report that I'm reading to the committee.
Thank you. I really wish you could, in a shortened version of summary form, tell us what you're saying, because I think we don't understand. If you were to put it in my Swazi language, not in Swazi, of course, in the language that is easy to understand. There's a building, structure, there's a Métis, there's a city forum, there's a department or a unit that wants a building. They are in a building. When they are inside the building, they are told that you must go out because this building you are occupying is now sold or is now rented to somebody else, and you must go out and go to wherever. The structure is not ready. There is a city forum that comes from nowhere and at a cost that is far beyond the budget or the money that they have. Now, what I'm interested in is the legality of that, that DPW being able to do. At what stage do you sign a lease with people occupying a building and having not acquired another building for them to move to, you sign so that you then push them out, and yet you've not concretely finalized another structure to occupy in terms of leases, finances, necessary, equipment and so on. At what stage, how do you do it? And that is what we're interested in, and the role of DPW in all this, because I have my story with ICT. The role of DPW on all this, if one was to get a clearer presentation on just this issue. And second, I say here that I was actually writing all these 170 rand per square meter and so on. The public protector report in the police building said the square meter was, I think, 40 rand or something like that, and was inflated to 120 something rand. I'm taking all these things and the relevance and the relationship. One is interested to know, and I'm listening. I see chaos of the highest order ever. But let's just allow you to say something and then we'll move on to treasurer.
Chairperson, I agree that there are certainly problems with regard to what has happened here. And I also want to confirm to the committee that today, even though it is alleged that documents are with the SIU, at that meeting with the SIU on this matter, they have confirmed that they have yet to lay their hands on the contract, the structural contract. The contract that they have is only for 1-1 for Miele, City Forum building. They do not have that. So it has developed scientific feet and then vanished somewhere. But it's not there. And it's alleged by people that it's with SIU and it's not with them. I've got documents that SIU has because I have had meetings with them even on Friday trying to prepare for this meeting. So it actually just shows Chairperson the extent of the problem here. The other thing that I want to indicate, Chairperson, I'm kind of explaining some matters because we've been urged by both the SIU that because they are really seriously very much involved in this case and they are very much advanced in the investigation, that they would want for us not to discuss too much detail of the matter that might actually have a serious or negative impact on what they are doing at the moment. Because as we are speaking, some of these people that are alleged to have participated here are still there in the department. And the danger is that if you know you communicate, you provide too much information, it could actually be, you know, at the disadvantage of the case that is being held, that is being done at the moment. So the one thing that I can also say, Chairperson, I know that I'm not helpful, and I can see, you know, you understand that I'm not helping much. I'm just providing that. Is that yes, there are challenges in the sense that a building that was supposed to be occupied by another department was stopped with another, and for costs that were not agreed to. And you know, it's actually common sense that when you do that, and there are serious cost implications, and also deriving from the PFMA, you should engage the responsible accounting officers. It is important because they take full and final accountability for the respective department. And in this instance, very little of that happened, and which is unfortunate. And I think this is why our minister requested that we should come and make a presentation and respond to that which we know and be as honest and truthful as possible. But that which we do not know, we should not engage in or commit ourselves in. And this is why I'm providing the committee with that which we have at the moment as a department, which we received from the individuals that are responsible for this transaction. Thank you, Chairperson.
Chairperson, last tax size day in the strategic report of public works, I raised this issue of ICD. And in my remarks, I said that this damning satanic ICD report, that public works need to attend to it. And I'm disappointed today because I thought by raising the issue of ICD, today public works will come with a complete, correct report to present to this portfolio committee. The minister also raised the issue of ICD report, public protector report, AG's report, and he indicated that in the pipeline, there's another damning report that is in the pipeline, though we don't know how long the pipe is. But the issue is that the issue of ICD was raised last week, and I'm disappointed. And also, Chairperson, to say, why are these big leases signed by the regional manager? I've been raising this question to say, how can that happen? And I'm happy that last week the minister sent out a communique to say no regional person or the regional manager should approve or sign any lease. Am I right or not? Correct. It has been stopped. No regional manager is going to sign any lease. If there are any leases, they will be directed to head office and they won't be signed without the consent of the minister. And minister indicated to public works officials that we need to be honest and we beg them for honesty and transparency. Thank you, Chairperson.
Mr. Treasurer.
Kabila. Okay, good morning, Honorable Chairperson and members of the committee. Thank you for inviting us. My name is Megan Davender. I'm the Director of Public Finance, responsible for the portfolio of police and ICD. And according to the invite, I will brief the committee on how National Treasury has dealt with the request for additional funding for the leases for ICD. Chairperson, we have received the request over this new MTF of $34 million for these new leases. Our recommendations have been made to the Minister's Committee on the Budget and also to Cabinet, but these recommendations have not been finalized. So the Minister's Committee may also institute changes as well as the Minister's Committee and the Cabinet to make changes. So unfortunately, we cannot say what has been recommended, Chairperson. It won't be proper for us to say. Suffice to add that we have read the minutes from the last meeting, which was concerns were raised, and those concerns have also informed our recommendations to the MINCOM and to the Cabinet regarding the additional funding for leases for ICD.
And one can only hope that recommendation is not aimed at enhancing and nurturing corruption of this highest order. We hope so. That we're not going to have the National Treasurer that will recommend funding for things such as this. I'm not saying we shouldn't. However, I hope these people must go to jail, they must go to jail. Period. They surely must go to jail. We may as well ask for security as we go out of this door. However, people who continue to loot the state like this, they must go to jail, period. And we will not expect the National Treasury to recommend finances for things such as this that cannot be explained in a meeting such as this. Now we have everybody here and we still are not getting the explanation. I don't know as to what recommendation would I put in writing for such a thing. Members, let's take time.
Your evaluation, Chairperson, on the DPW's presentation, is there anything that we can do in your evaluation as a Chairperson or Board Chairperson? In the presentation of my brother here, is there anything that we cannot bear?
In fact, I don't think so. In fact, I would just ask the assistant to please make copies so that we can actually be in a position to interact with this presentation. For me, I don't think there's anything critical or that would threaten us or anything. Yes. So I would just request, I would prefer that we make copies.
Chairperson, can I persuade the Chairperson and members that we do not? What we could do is to take the questions that are fielded in the meeting and then provide a response. The reason why I'm persuading the Chair is simply because the information we have is not even that can be relied upon. It's a problem on its own. You know, as this represents some of it. And I have said, and I've also mentioned, Chairperson, that you know, the figures that were mentioned cannot be relied, they have not been verified, unfortunately. The report that was received yesterday. And I included the difficulty in some of the things here and the fact that there's an investigation on this matter.
Can I take a question? Honorable Annelies, Honorable Lifeto, Honorable Babundovu, Honorable George, Honorable Greg, Honorable Angie, Honorable Swate, Honorable Kola Banat, Honorable Reverend Michel in the talk. I've identified him.
Chairperson, are we asking questions or are we discussing this issue? Okay. Then I want to start with the comment that was made. First of all, I'm afraid the information has been given in a public forum. We've got media in here, we've got everybody here. Whether that information is reliable or not, that's the information that you have presented as a department to this committee and by extension to Parliament. And I do not believe that whether the information is reliable or not is an excuse enough not to give us that information. Then the department should not have come here with the information at all. So, Chairperson, I think as far as this committee is concerned, in support of your ruling, the information must be given to the members. End of story. There is no argument for saying you come into Parliament with unreliable information. It's just unacceptable. I'm not blaming individuals, I'm blaming the department as well when I say that.
Same thing that I wanted to say, because you see, Chairperson, I have a real problem now. If you are saying that you must get the document, and the document is being presented in an open, clear manner to everybody, this is not a closed meeting. This is an open meeting. Therefore, I don't see anything in that document which I am supporting you that we are supposed to get a document. If we are not getting a document, why are we going to ask the department for? That's my problem. What are we here for? Because that means we are better. So what? The department, my brother is saying, what is in here is not type proof. There is no proof of it and so on and so forth. Then what is it? What is it? Is he saying that I'm sorry that I'm lying to you?
Okay, can I again roll on this matter? I did accept the explanation that was given by the Department of DPW. I listened carefully as they were making their presentation. And I can conclude that there is nothing preventing us from getting that document. As a matter of fact, whoever prepared that document for Parliament must have known that lying to Parliament is a criminal offence. And this has been presented to us in a meeting open and really listening carefully to what you are saying. Whether those figures or figures that are there are correct or not correct, we take it that the person who prepared the document knew that this document is coming to Parliament and the figures will be read to us. And therefore, we do request that the document be made available to members so that we can interact with it and be in a position to take a decision going forward. I therefore have put on the net. We're taking questions now.
Chairperson, the question that I've got a number of questions. First of all, to the DPW. Can DPW indicate to us, no, yes, no, maybe, whether and when were the contract provided to the ICT that included the cost of the building? At what stage? Date, if possible, that they get the contract. Chairperson, there's a lot of issues that remain unclear. I mean, I think there's more questions than answers after DPW specifically its presentation. But I still believe that the responsibilities also lie with the accounting offices of the department. And I want to know from the ICD, from Mr. Beerman, at what stage did you decide to get legal opinion on this issue? When did you start getting legal opinion on your current, where you are now in the structure of building? Because we get the impression, we get the impression that all of this will only start once we started raising this issue. Second question. When you were put under undue stress, because you said that, you said last time, that the department was basically threatened by the Department of DPW. If you're not going to move, we will not get you another building, there will be costs, etc., etc. That you take up this issue with the political head, that you ask for guidance, that you speak to the Minister of Public Works, that you speak to anybody in terms of we are being put under undue pressure by the Department of Public Works to enter into agreement that we don't know what it's going to cost us, that is still not, it's double the size that we want. Logic would have told us all that this is going to cost more. It's got five times the number of parking spaces that we've asked for. Did you ask for assistance at that point? Did you get legal assistance at that point? And then, Chairperson, I apologize, I wasn't at the last meeting due to other commitments. But I want to know, did the ICD now sign this contract with DPW? Is this contract signed, sealed, and delivered, and at what date was it signed?
Thank you, Chair. My first question is directed to ICT. You mentioned that Shabangu, if I heard you correctly, said he's not the owner of the building. I need to check with you. Who is the owner now? If you could respond to that question. Please, the Department of Public Works, I'm very, very much disappointed that on the 18th of February 2010, you confirm that there is no increase in the commitment made in respect of structural. But this without sufficient budget, and this did not take place. Let me say, I find it very strange that the person that we requested did not come. But let me say, we are very thankful that you came and told us what you could. I am particularly happy on that. To the Treasury, I am very, very, very much disappointed that you are creating a precedent without putting any caveat on this recurrence of 34 million you are talking to. Thanks, Chair.
Chairperson, thank you very much. There are three scenarios that I want to draw here. I want to go to slide number 14 on the ICD. The ICD, it says, according to the information, the ICD disposal of time, that time there were no valid reasons to refuse to move to the city for us. What does that mean? What does that mean in a layman language? That is, in fact, in the light of people, that is compulsory for ICD to move to the City Forum building. It was compulsory. What does that mean? Can the ICD explain that? On slide number 15, Chairperson, the ICD is saying, paragraph 3, contrary to the prescription of the Director of Care Accounts Management, DPW did not communicate a change in the cost implicated to the ICD. When did they communicate? Where did they communicate the change, if they did? And what was the response in that communication? The last one, Chairperson, is slide number 15. The DPW did not indicate, communicate additional cost indicated to the city. That is additional cost. Why they did not communicate as far as your knowledge is concerned? That is ICT. I don't want to ask any question at this moment on the PDW Chairperson because I'm waiting for the document. Thanks, Chair.
Madam Chair, let me state first my practical. That's why when I raised my hand, I wanted to make a proposal. You see, when we discussed this matter, when we asked questions last week, we were not aware, some of us, that it is now, there is an SIU investigation. That is why I was going to make a proposal like that, because I'm just worried. Let me state my critical. You see, I don't like a situation where this committee has one of the two things. One, it either compromises itself or compromises the investigation. You see, that's why I wanted that, in fact, at that time I was going to say, probably as a committee, let's look at this matter without them, but that has not happened. Because even if you look at the responses from the ICD, it's not different from what they presented last week. If you listen to what I said, you can make other many questions. For instance, the executive director at another dimension of Shabangu, each of Shabangu, like you said correctly, said it was never in the issue, but he brings it in. He said he sold the building in 2009. What does that mean? Because this whole process did not start in 2009, it started as far as 2007. You see, but if you look at even moving to City Forum with no mention of the difference in time, there are more questions. A copy of the list of the City Forum was requested by the ICD from the on the 3rd of February 2010. The copy was only issued in November. Correct. It's very clear that the more these questions are asked, let us say that there's something wrong with it. That's why I said, I'm just worried that we don't compromise. He was requesting, he has made, for instance, I think the Public Works Department was very irresponsible on this matter. Where I investigating, give you go and present some information, which you are not even, you say yourself, might not even actually. I mean, honestly speaking, the chairperson was not going to send police to arrest you if you say, under the circumstances, whilst we have, we're notifying Parliament, but this matter is under investigation, and therefore any information we give out might compromise investigation. Also, a meeting between the ICD, this is what I mentioned, on the 29th of January, to discuss before, in the very same meeting, the PW proposed that the fund was so building so that ICD will move to the City Forum building and the document settlement, the structural building. What are the reasons? Not stated. That's what I'm saying. If we were to go according to this presentation of ICD, unfortunately, that is true. I don't want to talk on suspicions on things. That is why, to me, if this matter is under investigation, I think that is the route, in my view, we would allow. Allow investigation to take its course, and when investigation is finished, so he's already saying people will be arrested, I don't know about that. All that I'm saying, Madam Chair, if we could have a situation where if there is investigation going on this issue now we're dealing with, it was going to be my plea. Why not allow investigation to take its course and be finished, and therefore, you see, this gentleman said the figures are inadequate. They are lost things in this thing, which if we're going to ask again, the cabling, structural cabling costed $770,000. That's a building which is, because now ask Public Works, is that how you operate? You hire a building, then you are involved in its renovations and all those things. Isn't that supposed to be the responsibility of the landlord? But as I'm saying, all those questions to me, Madam Chair, stopped at this level that I believe the Minister had good reasons why he asked this matter to be investigated. And I'm just not sure that as this committee, we have the capacity to investigate. Mm-hmm. Or whatever, for even if we're not investigating, that whether in the process you might not be compromised in that investigation. Thank you.
Yes, I just want to talk to that as a matter of fact. Had I known as a chairperson that there was an investigation by SIU, I would have invited SIU and Hawks to be in the meeting. We would be more than willing to hand over even our report to SIU when they are investigating the case, when we write the report of this meeting. If they ask for our report to say what did you write as Parliament, we will be more than willing to give that report to them. They could have attended this meeting. In fact, we would have invited them to this meeting if we had known that they are investigating. The documents that we're going to get in this meeting, if they ask for them from Parliament, it will be in our discretion to decide to give them, but there's nothing hidden. I'm saying this, remember, members, that last year we had a meeting on police buildings. At the time, the President announced that he was going to investigate or was commissioning an investigation into police buildings. And in the meeting that took place related to that, which we knew SIU was going to investigate or was investigating already, we invited them to our meeting. We received documents from police. We compiled a report. They requested that we give them our report, which we did willingly. And this matter is not before any court. It is being investigated. So it's not under subject care. It's not a matter that is in court. It is just an investigation. And we'll be very happy that the SIU is successful in its investigation. So for now, I do not see anything wrong. As a matter of fact, we will be more than willing to cooperate with whoever is investigating these issues, because we happen to be the portfolio committee responsible for overseeing ICD. And anything wrong that is happening, we have a budget to approve next year. I'm not sure as to what we're going to do under this class. And as far as I'm concerned, really, I do not think that there is anything wrong with us continuing with this meeting. Public Protector Act is very clear and respect to it. It's an investigation, it's not a case in court. We would wish that these things go to court so that people are brought to book to account for their doing or maldoing. Once and for all. So I still feel that this meeting should continue freely, and any person who is here must understand the fact that the portfolio committee will not hide any information. If the report that we're going to compile out of this, based on the community or interaction that took place here, we will be more than willing to cooperate with any investigating unit, as we did last year with police. I think for consistency's sake, we will do it anytime, as unless, of course, we think it is not correct for the portfolio committee to do it. So in that regard, and on that note, I would allow that, I would think that we've got to continue with the meeting. Honorable Craig?
No, thanks very much, Chairperson. I must say that having listened to the presentation that we had last week, and having listened to the presentation of today, I'm actually quite glad that I'm hearing that it is being investigated. Because listening to today's presentation, particularly coming from the Department of Public Works, it's very clear that this is a total mess, an absolute mess. So that's why I wanted to start by saying I'm actually very glad that it is being investigated. And certainly, one would hope that anybody who's been guilty of doing anything wrong, one would hope that they'll be found out. I thought I should start by saying that. I also want to say that I stand by what I raised in the portfolio committee last week when I raised and I quoted the Public Finance Management Act. And that particular section of the Public Finance Management Act, which I actually referred to, actually states, and I'm going to raise it again, it states that an accounting officer may not commit a department, trading entity, constitutional institution to any liability for which money has not been appropriated. I guess I should raise this again, because it's very clear here that nobody really actually checked on the costs. Public Works is saying that they never advised the ICD, and the ICD is saying again here today that they were never advised. So I'm raising that point again, because personally I find it unacceptable that we could accept and move into a building simply because we told somebody this is what we require. Never bothered to actually check. And that's why I wanted to reflect that as well. But I want to... the presentation from the ICD says they were forced to move into this building. Says they were forced. I want to ask Public Works to tell us, why would they have forced the ICD to have moved into this building when they knew, because the ICD is telling us, Public Works were told of the square meterage that they required, they were told of the budget that they had. Public Works in their presentation is telling us of the rental, telling us of the square meterage. Now, if they knew all of that, why would they have forced the ICD to move into a building? One, the square meterage is almost double of what they required, and secondly, the rent is way, way in excess of what the ICD could afford. I don't know and I don't understand how then we could have been, we can be saying that, well, the ICD says they were forced, and I think we need to understand. Why were they forced? The second point I want to raise is, and it relates to this City Forum building. The lease actually was signed, according to what we were told last week, the lease was actually signed in March 2009 for Human Settlement. I'd like to know whether Human Settlement moved into that building, because that was when the lease was signed. If I'm listening, I get the understanding that maybe Human Settlement never moved in there, and then the Public Works were stuck with an empty building and not knowing what to do with the building. Why did Human Settlement not move into that building? And then why, when the structure of building, there were issues around security and so on, and the delays from the owner of the building, why then suddenly then come up with this idea of swapping? Why didn't Human Settlement move in? That was what the building was, that's what the tender went out for. And that's the thing that I don't understand.
What I'd like to understand as well, the structure of building, one of the reasons that we're told why the ICD could not move into there and why that building was not going to be available was it did not meet the requirements of the BEE. But then suddenly we were told last week that a few months later, suddenly it now complied. I'd like to understand what happened there. Also the other point that I wanted to just check, I may have missed it here, but what's the date that the ICD actually occupied the City Forum building? Because that certain last week we didn't have any clarity on that. And I think that's where I am going to stop. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chairperson. My first question, in fact, most of my questions are already asked. My first question is about the executive director is in possession of a letter from Rusharam, where
he says he's not the owner of the building. Who is the owner of that building? My second question is on slide 12, where it says the owner attempted to evict the ICD from the old MB building. Who is this owner? Slide number 9.
Honourable, can you repeat your very last question?
On slide number 12, the owner wanted and attempted to evict ICD from the old MB building. Who is this owner? Slide number 9. Between 2007 and 2008, the ICD staff complement increased from 80 to 83, which means they only increased by 3 members. Now, what is weird is when it comes to the parking, they needed 23 additional parking bays, and they only increased by 3 members. What I want to know is what was the 20 parking bays for? Thank you.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Some of my concerns have been actually raised, but I've got some few to actually to raise. And my first one is with regard to the movement of ICT from the OMB to other buildings. That is, to me, is a very much a problem or a concern with regard to the budget that they actually had. They had 60 million rand when they were actually approaching the DPWO to seek accommodation for them. So I just want to find out what actually did DPWO do in terms of that amount of money. Because I think if a person comes to you with that kind of money, it means you must look for an accommodation that is going to be catered by that amount of money. So I just want to find out from the DPWO what has they done in that regard. And I'm also very much disappointed because last week when we actually attended the meeting, I believe the chairperson actually invited the DPWO to come today to give us clarity with regards to what had happened regarding the disagreement. But it seems today you are still not prepared. You are actually giving us the document that actually is not, we cannot rely on, as you just indicated with regard to the figures, that we cannot rely on the document that actually you are giving to us. So I also want to emphasize also the issue of owners, because it was indicated that the owners actually wanted to evict the ICD. But we actually don't know who are those owners. And it was indicated that one of the person that we thought maybe was part of the owner, it was not the person who's owning the building, as it's indicated by the ICD before the start of this meeting. So I actually also want to find out also from DPW, because they are the ones who are actually dealing with the leases. But this kind of problems that we actually talking about today, how long will this actually take? How long will this problem take? Because it seems there are so many, as the chairperson also indicated, that others are still on the pipeline that are still coming. So also I also need to know as to whether the person who was actually presenting from DPW, as whether, because he was actually given this information, is he not part of the senior management, so that we can know exactly what is happening, because today we are expecting clarity. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, firstly, Public Works arrived represented by someone who has not dealt with the lease, who claims the figures he presents may not be reliable. He doesn't want them to give them to us. And then claims in the document which we've now seen, for example, that the ICD apparently went into negotiations with the property owner of ICD House behind DPW's back. Now, they claim they know virtually nothing about the lease situation. It is an extremely serious accusation. And basically, Public Works has accused Mr. Bierkman of committing what may well be an illegal act. And yet, Mr. Bierkman claims he has paid for trails. What on earth are we supposed to believe here? I don't know whether to believe the ICD or Public Works, or this gentleman representing Public Works who wasn't involved with the lease deal. It is very clear that somebody here is misleading this committee. Very clear. Now, Public Works has stated, virtually as an aside, that the Statura lease has simply disappeared. It's evaporated. In fact, I think he said it grew legs and walked. Now, the ICD claimed in the last presentation that they had asked in writing for a copy of the lease, which was not forthcoming. So we have a multi-million rand lease document that has simply disappeared. Now, I'd like to know from Public Works if they're suggesting that the ICD, who you've claimed has been negotiating with various property owners behind your back, are you claiming they perhaps have the lease document? How long have you been aware that the lease document is missing? It's very obviously another dodgy lease deal that your department's involved in. What date did you know the document went missing on? And are you expecting this committee to believe that in this day and age of electronic documentation that every single copy of this lease has simply evaporated? Please fill us in there. I think it's a very, very serious issue. I have asked the public protector to investigate this entire matter, and that was for a number of reasons, not the least of which was that it was yet another overpriced lease deal that Public Works had signed. Yes, two were with Rushabango, and the ICD stated last week to me and to others that the third was also with him. He now stated it was not, but be that as it may, these are lease deals signed for exorbitant rentals that are not in line with the rentals charged at other buildings in the same area. Now, that is the job of Public Works, to know what the average rental is of any property in the area and make sure that the leases they sign fall in line with that, with those rentals. This is not happening. Something I'd like to clarify is that on slide 14, I think it has been asked, there is a threat of legal action. I wasn't sure who the threat was from. Was it from you? Was it from the owner of the building? Please fill us in on the threats that were made to the ICD forcing them into this building. Now, it seems to me that we have here a third lease deal signed by Public Works, not by the ICD. Of course, it's all being investigated. They have exorbitant rentals. It's the same as the two SAP deals, far, far higher than the norm. And I'm sure that you know very well that the high rentals that you signed for in the two lease deals with SAPs and indeed with this one could have purchased the building outright, sometimes within a matter of months. You know full well that the SAPs lease deal you signed in Durban for 477 Smith Street, which has now been cancelled, that was to be rented to the SAPs by Rushabango for 6 million rand a month, an amount which would have bought the 42 million rand building outright in just over half a year. Now, that building was far bigger than they needed. It was totally unsuitable, as is in this case, and it seems you're committing taxpayers to paying and paying and paying exorbitant rentals when at the end of the issue that they own nothing. Your department ends up owning nothing, and yet you've made the owners of the buildings extremely, extremely rich. Now, the claim is that the National Treasury determined that the ICD is too small to purchase its own building. That is the claim. And yet the SAPS is also renting and renting and renting. You can't surely tell us that SAPS is too small to own its own building. So please just fill us in there, because I find that an extraordinary comment to make in light of the enormous rentals that we are committing ourselves to for up to 10 years at a time, when in the first year you could actually have bought the building for cash. And we go on and on and on, making certain individuals extremely, extremely rich on the taxpayers' back. And I would agree with the chair, absolutely. There is something very, very smelly in this state. And I would hate to think that the Treasury is okaying the payment of these lease deals on properties that are totally unsuitable and exorbitantly priced, rental-wise. I really would have expected you to ask for an assurance that the building for which taxpayers are going to be paying is actually suitable for what is it's been signed off on by Public Works. There's got to be some oversight mechanism here. I don't see it in action at all. And frankly, I'm the least surprised that the Special Investigative Unit is investigating this entire matter amongst the countless others that we've heard of. Thank you.
Chairperson, on page 13, the ICD says they submitted a letter showing interest to occupy the city forum. Now, what I want to know from the ICD, when they submitted this letter showing interest to occupy this building, did they know how much it would cost them to rent them? Because I find it strange that now they are complaining about being forced to move into a building that they showed interest in. Now, when they showed this interest, as they stated in slide 13, when they showed this interest, did they know or didn't they know how much it would cost them? And secondly, Mr. Buchman obviously is a lawyer who I would expect not to commit himself to something that does not know the details of. He did not see the list, and he's caving under pressure. So why did he cave in under pressure as a lawyer, knowing the implications of committing yourself when you are unable to deliver? I also want to know who signed this lease and when. When the lease for City, this building was signed, was the building suitable for Human Settlement Department, as they are the ones who were supposed to move in the first place? I want to know, because of it, if Human Settlement does not occupy this building, as it is now ICD that has occupied, I want to know whether, when this lease was signed, did they have Human Settlement in mind, or who did they have in mind to use this building? And thirdly, now coming to DPW that allegedly forced ICD to occupy the building, I want to know whether the DPW deliberately misled the ICD when they forced them into this building. Did they deliberately mislead them? And why didn't they communicate the changes in the cost implications? Because ICD provided them with a budget. Why didn't they communicate cost implications? Was this a deliberate misleading of the ICD or what? And lastly, in slide 31, they are talking about an administrative error. Slide 31, they're talking about an administrative error that necessitated the dating billing. I want to know what this administrative error was. Was there no billing at all, or was there incorrect billing that necessitated the dating this billing? Thank you very much.
I wanted to ask the question. I'm just worried the executive director's office just left for a moment. I wanted to ask a question which I forgot. And this is why it's important that you actually do give us the documents as well. In the DPW's presentation, they indicated that the ICD will enter into direct negotiations, not with Structura Building, not with City Hall, but with Mercedes. But with Mercedes Building, the ex-Mercedes Building. Now that, according to what DPW is reporting, that was ICD then agreeing to pay 100 from 69,000, actually 67 according to DPW, 69 according to ICD, to a amount of 154,000 per month. And I find this extremely, extremely worrisome. I want to know when was this negotiations between the ICD and the Mercedes Building. When did it take place? Why did it take place, if it did take place? And also, can we get a clarity, Mr. Diakon, I'm glad you're back, because in your presentation, all of your presentations, and I've got specifically a presentation here that is dated 4th November, you never mentioned an increased amount on the Mercedes Benz Building. We asked you at some point to give us a differentiation between the current situation, the Structura and the City Forum. And in that presentation that you've given to the committee, you still talk about the OMB building at the amount of 69,723 per month. Although what we've been told now here and what is in the documents of DPW, you talk about an amount of 154,000 per month that, according to DPW, ITD directly negotiated with OMB. So I'll just repeat the first part of the question was, did you go into direct negotiations with OMB? When was this done, if it was done, and why was it done?
Chairperson, thanks very much. I'm just in this document we've just been given here now. On page 3, it talks about final financial implications of the swap. And I was listening during when the presenter from Public Works was actually presenting, and he actually said, according to obviously what is in his notes here, that the difference in rental is only 10 rand per square meter. That's actually not correct. That. It might be the square meterage difference. But that's why I raised the fact about how they could have forced the ICD to move when the square meters is almost double what their requirement was. And so therefore the difference is not, you can't raise the difference of being 10 rand per square meter. You've got to look at the total square meterage, and that's the difference. Because that actually can be very misleading. If you tell somebody, hey, the difference is only 10 rand per square meter, but you don't actually look at the full amount. I even find this document a little bit problematic because it's not very clear. But I also want to raise another point that hopefully we can get, it'd be interesting if we can get an answer on this. But if you look at page 1 of their documents as well, regarding the Structura building, quite interesting this. In 2008, they did an inspection and they didn't meet minimal functionality criteria, that's the Structura building. Then the next sentence under there tells us that relevant committees were approached and granted approval for lapsing of the tender. That's in April 2008. Go to page 2, and then suddenly in July 2008, they recommend the approval of the need for the new owners of the building, of the Structura building. I just find these things quite strange. So in April 2008, they allow the lapse of the tender to lapse, and suddenly, April, May, June, July, 3 months later, and they suddenly approve a lease of the same building. And I'd be interested to know why was that? If they can answer it, I'd be interested to know. Because it actually, this document has a lot of contradictions in it. Thanks.
No, thank you very much. ICD, in your presentation, you actually, from time to time, I think DPW responded, we wrote to DPW, who did you interact with in the DPW and what is the level of the person you were interacting with, and was the accounting officer of the department ever involved, and if not, what did you do under these circumstances that are presented to us now? Slide 14, you are saying, according to the information at ICT's disposal at that time, there were no valid reasons to refuse to move to the City Forum building. No valid reasons. However, at the time, according to your presentation, you had an incomplete lease agreement and not a complete lease agreement. And in your presentation to us today, you are saying that was not a valid reason to make you not to move to City Forum. How can it be? We're sitting here today talking about the lease agreement. You did not have a complete lease agreement, and you regarding that as not a valid reason to make you not to move to the building. Really, I'm reading all this, and please tell us. In fact, I just want to close all these things. Please tell us, what is this? What are we talking about here? What is it that we are talking about here, and we want to know this? What is this? We want it defined and explained to us clearly in simple terms without referring to all these things and reading and so on. What is it that we're dealing with here? What is this? Can we get to know what is it that we're talking about in this meeting? In terms, is it the portfolio committee seeing something that is not in existence? There's no problem. We're trying to make a problem out of nothing. Is there a problem? And I'm asking this question because, you know, Executive Director, as a matter of fact, we've been interacting with ICT. We've never picked up. In fact, you've never made us understand that you have a problem in as far as the buildings are concerned. You've never. Even this time around when you presented your annual report, had it not been for the questions that the members asked, you would have still left the portfolio committee in the pretext that all was well and good. This matter was never brought to the attention of the portfolio committee when we were dealing with your budget. And that is why none of us raised a question on this matter, because at that time we could not pick it up. For how long was this going to be a secret without the portfolio committee knowing that there is this challenge you are facing and it affects your budget? At what stage were you going to make the portfolio committee aware? And the question is, what is it that we are dealing with? Are we dealing with a case of looting, of corruption, or are we dealing with a case of, human error, you know, that happened over time and which could have happened to anybody? What is it that we're dealing with here in this case? There is tea outside. I think we do deserve to take a 10-minute break. We 10-minute break, we're back here.
Somebody that is paid for the expenditure. Is this paid for the expenditure? 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 Is this
we are acting against the PCW and OPG for the different conventions and the rest negotiated by the city of the community was more than twice that paid by the PCW. More than twice. And they are very and this became two buildings occupied by ICT when this came in 2009 to the Department of Road Development and Water Systems for Certificate and high this amount. And to qualify that, let's have they are paying more than twice. So if they were paying 20% per square meter, it means it was anything from 40% in more than 40. What is it? Now we're talking about the building that they were occupying. So the whole thing is like exorbitant rental decided for whatever reason. What is it? Basically, can you please respond to the qualified?
Thank you, Honorable Minister. Thank you very much. Thank you very much for the presentation. Thank you. We will go to the public for those who are there. The second question that you raised by the Minister, who is the owner of the building that is currently occupied? Now, according to this fact that we issued the copy yesterday, that is 21 years ago, communication from Shabangu that
that the third paragraph, sometime in making
Thank you.
I'm sitting here wanting to run away because really I don't know. You know, when I came here on Monday, I was called to a house of a woman who's got 4 children. There was not even a bag of mealies, nothing. Those children had not had anything to eat since Friday. The last time they ate, it was at school on Friday. For the whole weekend, they had not had anything to eat. And they could not go to school on Monday because they were so hungry. And one must come and sit here and listen to the 25 million that are cut down by 18 million. And over the weekend, I must go back to my area and face that woman and see myself as representing that woman here in Parliament. And next year, March, approve the budget for things that are not known exactly.
Okay.
Thank you, Chairperson.
Madam, Professor Gerald, in your point of view, Chairperson, both Chairperson, as it means, are we going to achieve anything in this meeting after this question is asked, from where we are asked the questions? that you have gotten up to now. Are you in your point of view now? Because I don't want to sit here for another hour for the waiting of time. Procedurally, I'm not blaming anybody, but I'm just asking the chairperson now. Procedurally, are we going to get anything out of this meeting that we have to tell our caucus tomorrow and say that we sit here for 3.5 hours and this is what we got? Because that's my problem now, where I'm trying to see where we are.
I think it's going to affect us, and that we'll then be able as the portfolio committee to make recommendations. We can only do that if we have information. We will not want to assume that they do not have answers. We want to conclude on the basis of what they have said to us, that they are not providing answers to us because they have not provided answers to us. But for now, we can't assume. And it is on the basis of what they have told us that we can then come to conclusions and therefore comment on the basis of that. So, Sarah, I think we can adapt to support. And please, continue.
Thank you, Honourable Chairperson. Maybe the three officials, the list I've got here, Mr. S.B. Mwashiane, Mr. K. Desainos, and Mr. S. Subban, that was the three officials' name in terms of the action. The one gentleman was director of property management, Mr. Mashiani, the one was acting regional manager, and the other one DDG.
We will request to put those names in the
report. Yeah, the chairperson, again, with relation to the, one of the members asked with relation to the copy of the lease agreement. I think maybe just to recap what is indicated more in detail at the previous meeting that was held with the portfolio committee, that the letter of the ICC on the 3rd of February, we indicated there that we showed interest to occupy the building together with the request of the draft lease, as well as advice on the availability of alternative building, and of course the reimbursement of the expenditure in terms of structure. Then there was that response of 5th of February by DPW, and then just to indicate that in that process there was no lease coming forward, and on the 8th of July there was a further request for a copy of the lease agreement, and then on the 9th of July 2010 we received an incomplete lease agreement from DPW. There was follow-up submissions made on the complete lease agreement. There was no response between July and November 2010, according to all correspondence. And we received a complete hard copy of the lease agreement in November 2010. So that is the concept. Yeah, that's good.
The legal speaking, was it correct? Why would you move to a building without a complete lease agreement in your hand? And did you sign?
Mm-hmm. It's very important to remember that we have signed in July. I just want to make sure it's in July. There's a lie. We have signed in July the service level agreement with Public Works in terms of the role and duties of the department and the other public works, and of course we will make that available also to the public to take that. And it's our view that, and I've also indicated today in the main presentation, that there was certain information as well as requests that should have come to us, and we didn't come. I mean, we based, and I think that is just a crucial thing, we based our move to the building on the swap arrangement. That was the basis. And I mean, after the SLA was entered into, there was no communication in terms of the SLA, especially because it was more than 5,000 square meters. If it's more than 5,000 square meters, of course, there must be, again, a certain action taken in terms of alerting us with regard to that, and that is covered.
So that was the context of that matter.
What were the conditions of this club? What is it that you agreed upon with the shop itself? Understanding the fact that you had to identify, you had to do need analysis and present to DPW the budget, because this is the amount of money that we have. And now that you are moving to a bigger a building, which so surely you must have seen for yourself, that this one is much bigger than the one that we had seen before and the construction. What were the swap arrangements and negotiations? What is that you can put across the
Chairperson, I think we referred to that today in the main presentation, the meeting of the 18th February, where it was an indication that there would be no additional financial implications, and that later that money will also make available to the public protector. So there was no indication that there would be more commitments from our side.
Because in the presentation here, one of the slides, you listed the cost of the building. And it was clear that if the forum is 10, but far more than what you budgeted for. So I don't understand your answer now, because surely you should have known that if you move to the forum, the price of the forum was very clear. It's far above what, more than 4 million, what you budgeted for. So I think if you want to check this one, when you move in knowing fully well that this is far above what I budgeted for, where do you think you're going to get this additional money?
In terms of the size of the building, I'm talking about the physical size. This whole Good Hope chamber, which is much bigger than, for instance, F26, and therefore would normally expect that it will cost more. I'm just asking.
Maybe again, I think people have been, I think I've read also that ICD entered into disagreements with different persons. And then maybe probably worth honourable chairperson can also indicate these agreements for fixed accommodation in public services entered into between public works and the The only agreement we enter into is the service level agreement. Maybe just to indicate, in terms of the budget, remember we've indicated that there was, in 2007, the 6.1 allocated as our budget availability. There was no stage of indication. Remember, we got that agreement at the end of November. So, I mean, in terms of the figures that we put on the table today, that was not known at that stage when we met.
Are we sure? Are you sure, Mr. Beerman? Especially because you were not directly involved in the negotiations. Are you sure that the message for the swap wasn't that it will come to the same cost per square meter? Because now you've got double the number of square meters that you've asked for. So there's no. I mean, that's what one is. We say to you, DPW says to you, there's not going to be, it will come at the same cost. So, square meter, I think the honourable chairman indicated that to the 10 rand per square meter increase, which in itself doesn't seem like much once you start multiplying it per square meter, it becomes higher number. Are you certain that that was not the message from these colleagues?
Chairperson, the information we have, even from the people who were directly involved in this negotiation, is that this was a direct swap between ICD and Human Settlement. Remember that the Department of Public Works had already signed an agreement with respect to Human Settlement on this building in 2009 already. When we came to the picture, it was now in January 2010, when they proposed to us that we move to city forum and human settlement move to structure. So our understanding of the swamp and the meetings confirm that. Even employees of ICD who are not with us, that's what they are telling us, that the agreement was that human settlement will move to Rachura. We move to City Forum. At the same time that we signed, remember, Public Works had signed a contract with Sichaba for Structura, for occupation by ICD. And that contract is in line with what we had budgeted for. So our understanding is that we move to City Forum, but we still pay our commitment. That the commitment would then relate to Structura, whereas human settlement will still be committed to the City Forum thing, as that agreement was entered into on behalf of human settlement. And that was the understanding at the time.
See, you must remember that there's the treasury regulations and everything. How do you think human settlement was going to be replaced, spending 10 million for a building which they are not using, and you pay 4 million? I mean, it does not make sense. Surely there is something wrong with it. I mean, honestly, if you believe what, if that's what how the world told you, and you believe it. Not only the problem is public works, although those people believe what they were telling you. Because, I mean, you were protecting your public funds. How would you believe that you will pay, you said you're going to be given S600, but you're going to pay for a test?
The chair, I don't mean to try and delay the meeting, but you know. I find it quite strange that what is being said here. And the problem that I'm having in this meeting now is the same as last week. The same as last week's meeting, whereby as the presentation went on, so also other things got it to come out. Some of them didn't make sense, but just got a sense that this thing is just going all over the place. And this is happening now. And I'm inclined in a way to almost agree with the comments that the Honourable Lecture George made earlier on. Where is the meeting taking us? Because really, some of these answers that are coming now just don't make sense. They don't make sense. I've never been a DG and I might never be a DG, but I think I could make better decisions than we've been told about this. You can't make decisions like this. You can't think about things like this. And I don't understand it, but really this is a mess. And it was just a mess from public website, it's a mess from the ICD site, and it's very clear there were no controls in place whatsoever. All people just didn't know what they were doing. But I really am getting to the place that I'm trying to get irritated because of the stuff that we've been told. It's just not correct. It's just not correct.
Hello, Chairperson and members. I'm not going to pretend, Chairperson, that there are no problems, because there are very serious problems. Our processes at Public Works, particularly with regard to the listing, are fundamentally flawed. They need a complete overhaul. And this is why our minister has withdrawn all delegations from the region to put together a team at national that will also have initiatives. Specialists and people who got the necessary technical know-how to assist to take us forward with regard to life. And Chairperson, just to go to one, and I also want to make the second point I want to make is that we will not attempt to respond to all the questions because some of them are much different, are fairly complex. For us, some of them require far more detailed information than we have at the moment, and really beg your indulgence as this committee that we be allowed to take some of them back and then provide far better information on some of this authority. And Chairperson, the other issue that I want to just clarify, one member made a remark. I have, and I'm very familiar with the environment of Parliament. I worked here previously. And I absolutely respect and all the members and this institution. And I'll not come here and attempt to be creative about information. This is why I had to be very clear when I started to say what we have and what we're going to give. And said, we received this yesterday. Yesterday we were here presenting to our Committee of Public Works in the morning, particular committee, we presented to the Select Committee in the afternoon, and the meeting came out very late. We got the report late, around about 6 o'clock or so. It was difficult at that point to find individuals and interrogate information further. Some of the assessments that are said to be there on this report were not made available to us yesterday. And overall, we had to divide ourselves into teams, so that one team goes to support the minister at cabinet today. And I leave the other team to come here. And that's why I'm here. So I'm not necessarily exculpating myself from responsibility when I say that. This is, I'm trying to respond to the issue that am I not part of the senior management? I am. Because it's the DG and it's myself. Then it's, the DDG and other officials in the department. So why do you take full responsibility? This is why, Chairperson, the fact that I'm new in the department, will not be used in here in this meeting. I'm not using that. I'm taking full responsibility. We want to, as senior managers, socialize ourselves closer to issues, emerging out of this report, and we're not able to do so. That's why I apologize when we started. And I did mention the fact that some of the information is being investigated, and it will be difficult for us to speak too much in detail, because some of it will find its way in the investigation. The other point, Chairman, that I was raised when I said the document could not be found. I'm happy our colleagues from the ICD have a copy of that agreement, which we do not have. And I'm going to ask from them kindly to provide us with that copy. So that's why you were asking for that report from me, because I'm working closely with them in the department. That's why I'm in the department. Chairperson, if you would also recall that the largest portion of our disclaimer this year, which our chairperson is very familiar with, has to do with limitation of scope. Meaning broadly that a lot of documents that were required by the AG could not be made available to the AG. One member alluded to the fact that we live in this electronically advanced, technologically advanced world, and we cannot say files have disappeared. At DPW, unfortunately, you don't have even proper filing systems. So there are documents you can't find. Some of the leases and contracts that we have, even off contract, cannot be found in our department, Chairperson. And it's one of the things that we are dealing with, because a large part of the disclaimer that we received as a department. And this is why, Chairperson, we've extended the scope of the SIU to include a lot of things. Initially, they were going to look into one region. And I must be frank with you in that, Chairperson, of all the leases that they have dealt with today, now let's not say all. All of the leases dealt with to date are found to have been irregular, problematic, fundamentally flawed, patterns. So this is but a fraction of the work that they still have to do in the department. And this was only focusing on one region. And in public works we've got 11 regions, honorable chairman. It seems extended that scope to one of the issues that is problematic, but our chairperson is aware of the chairperson of the public works. To look into a lot of other things that are going on in the department. One of the quickest examples I want to make to the House for taking your time, Chairperson, is you'll find instances where if you were to go out as a chairperson now and negotiate for a lease, we'll get far better rates than if our officials were to go and negotiate. This has somehow ignited some kind of discussion between ourselves and the current department to say, excuse me, we are going to go and get involved here. And I personally believe, as a senior manager, that 10 Gatland Department should be involved in the negotiation even until the conclusion. We will, of course, take the conclusion in terms of the contract itself, as we are the landlord of government. But because it's going to affect you financially, we should take you on board. It's important. You'll find instances where we've got escalation of 11-12%, which is not irresponsible. We're talking between in the market now, between 7.5 and 8.5, and 9 is a very good. So this is a stress. It's unacceptable. Yeah, this is, but Chairperson, one of the issues that I wanted to single out, just to indicate to this meeting, just how fundamentally flawed some of our processes are in the government. This is something that we are dealing with at the moment. We've got officials that have been suspended, Chairperson, in the department. You know, at the moment. And I suspect that, you know, eventually some bigger processes will take place around this. Because the reason is where, you know an official of life, I mean, Shepherds, some people have got, have lived longer, and they've, of course, amassed some capital, and can rise to them. You know, we're not questioning that. But the reason is where people earn something, and they are, if you do their lifestyle audit, the two completely, do not, they do not understand. So, Chairperson, out of our leave, our leave is in the department, at the moment, 2,906 is what we have in the Department of Public Works, nationally. And we pay 3 billion rand per annum to us there. As part of a regime of issues that we're dealing with can address our situation at the moment. Particularly the situation of leasing, because Cabinet has also raised a concern about the size of our leasing portfolio as a department, and that we need to look into reducing that going forward. To try and leave more money for other costs that are far more critical in our country. So with this portfolio that I've just mentioned now, we need to, as public, which is what we're doing now, to look further into what it is that we can do to reduce the portfolio. And we are, and particularly with the leadership of Madam Sasa Stuber, who is accompanying me today, DG AIM Asset Investment Management, working on a number of properties that we are renovating at the moment for use by the state to try and save on the cost for both ourselves, DPW, and Crime Department. We've got such, that we are doing. There's a little work going on. We have also worked out a plan of constructing buildings in some of the cities. Because again, transformation of the industry has become very, very difficult. Because people are reluctant to relinquish to the people that want to empower going forward. So there are one of the ways in which government can deal with it is construct for it all. And it's not one other path that we consider very serious in the department. And we're going to go forward doing that. At the moment, Chairperson, one of the things that I decried in the department has been the management of the SLA. I know that I always complain about usage of acronyms, because we never know sometimes what they mean, and we mean different things sometimes, Chairperson. Service level agreement in this system. We don't have a mechanism to manage this, our role. Because sometimes, we take very lightly that an SLA is about roles that we play, both of the client and of ourselves as the department. We do not play our role efficiently enough to assist client departments. And most of them are dependent on us as the landlord of government to assist them going forward. We don't even have the necessary capacity in the department itself to inform this very big industry that we are going into, that we want to transform. That industry is still influenced largely by your big property players, most of whom are banks, that are holding at the government. That's why you find a lot of things in our difficulty to try and resolve in the property environment. We need to provide that pressure because we are the biggest property owner in the country. With a portfolio of about 109,000 properties that we have, both land parcels and the built infrastructure in the department. That's very big for our country. And we need to provide far better leadership than we are providing at the moment going forward. Without going into the details of the issue, I thought I should just highlight those few things to the committee and to say We will work closely with our colleagues at the ICD to assist them to get out of this morass of hopelessness that we've drawn them into, to ensure that for this committee we provide a better report next time we meet in this regard, and even see whether there's no option for us to review this contract that we have. But of course, it will also be informed in the main what will come out of the report of the SIU. I have in my meeting with them on Friday impressed upon the agency of dealing with some of these issues, including the issue of the ICD. And I know that they are ensuring that this is also going to be repeated for the benefit of this August House. Thank you very much, Chairperson. And I think there will be one or two things that I would ask my colleague here, Safa. She must not just about that because I'm the leader of the team. I'd like to just make a few comments, Chairperson, on one or two things. I think there are a lot of other things we will definitely deal with and provide a report to the committee. Thank you very much.
I'm worried about time, and let's just take a second. I just wanted to verify that DPW does sign, they have a mandate to sign lease agreements with their stores or landlords. I just wanted to verify that we do that. Very quickly, in terms of the process that is an existing business process, before a lease agreement is signed with the user department, funding confirmation must happen with the accounting officer seconded by the CFO of a particular department. That is the business process that is in place with DPW, and DPW is obliged to communicate the associated costs accordingly. In terms of human settlements and...
I want to interrupt you,
because I don't believe that you do justice in responding to some of our questions. We are running out of time. We have got other meetings to go to. Mr. Treasurer, in your closing remarks, where to from here? ICT. Where to from here?
Thank you, Chairman. There's also the question came up with one of the honourable members. Like I said, although ICD has made a request, we haven't given any indication that we're going to be recommending that. We've made our recommendation, and our recommendation is way informed from the meeting from last week when we heard the minutes to the Ministers' Committee on the Budget and to the Cabinet. And I'm sure next year when this committee meets and sees the budget, they will see what our recommendations were. Unfortunately, I cannot say what those recommendations were, specifically with the leasing. The other comment was with regard to oversight. Yes, there is oversight. I'm from the Public Finance Director, and this is what the oversight is. We look at it. We look at the request. Even if you look at the accommodation charges that involve the public works, the growth is not exorbitant. It's within the norm. But that's what informs these things as well. With regard to the oversight, we also have the supply chain function, which issues instruction notes, supply chain management framework. But I'm not mandated to speak on their behalf. But from the public finance, we put our finger on it. That I can tell you, Chairperson.
Thank you.
Question, just for the record, I must just indicate in terms of 34, I said incorrect information. Mr. Subban wasn't involved in that. It's only those two other officials. Sorry for that oversight. Going forward, Chairperson, it's quite vital that we cooperate with the public protector investigation.
Correct. I wanted to say, without referring to the public protector and FIU as a department, where to from here? I'm talking to management now.
So, Chairperson, as indicated in the previous briefing, we have wrote to the DG of Public Works. And I've spoken to him on Sunday personally as well, indicating that it's vitally important that we sit down with them regarding this current situation, taking into consideration the legal opinion that we will get, and see how we can move forward. We want to ensure that there is no loss of financial resources, that we economize the accommodation situation and look at the options. What should we do at this current point in time to ensure that there's effective use of resources?
Chairperson, I just want to indicate to this meeting that there are serious problems in the Department of Public Health, as stated by Mr. Kutcher. To say the minister is consulting, the minister is listening, the minister is reading and getting proper briefings. On the issue of the documentation, as a portfolio committee, the Department of Public Health could not produce documentation because they indicated to us that all documentation has been collected by SIU. That's where we are, and there's no movement. And Nita indicated that she's not going to sign anything, he's not going to approve anything until further notice. Thank you very much.
No, thank you very much. Let me thank you. Thank all of those who contributed this meeting and gave us information. It is meetings such as this that are representative. It really makes you wonder whether it is right for you to be a politician or you should be somewhere doing something else, you know, than to sit and listen to things such as this. We're dealing with public funds. Let women, our preferred children, who did not have anything to eat, even if I may have even had 10 rand, should still pay debt for buying anything. And it is that debt that will come to public works and ICT, and then we sit in meetings to discuss these issues discussing today about the debt that was taken from debt to away. And I think sometimes we forget about these things. Because when we refer to these millions, billions and whatever, it's like it's money that is somewhere kept and from which people who can afford these millions. Yet the fact of the matter is that this money comes from the very poor people who are paying tax through them. Okay, the fact we will be requesting you to respond to questions that you could not in writing. We will consider inviting the officials that you're involved in. We will consider the things we're going to do, but we will consider that. We'll give it serious consideration. If it is not proper that people who will interact in and negotiating these leases do not, in fact, it's not proper that they come and explain exactly so that we get it from them. Maybe because we also have confusion now as to who the owner of the City Forum building is. Maybe it is proper that we also invite Mr. Shabangu and Mr. Faneke together so that they can together be in the meeting, so that they explain to us as to who the owner of this building is and what were the conditions of negotiation from the beginning. I think it would make a lot of sense if at some stage we would have ICT with the people that they are mentioning to who interacted with them present in one meeting so that we know this. I believe we owe it to the people of this country for them to know as to how their money is used by us as put in these positions of power. And none of us is volunteering, all of us are paid for doing our work. We are paid a salary but also paid even allowances. And I find it extremely ungodly. As a matter of fact, I wanted to say satanic, but I think that is too wrong. That we will then think for ourselves in a manner that we will do anything and everything
for as long as I get anything. And we're sitting here talking about this. And this is money. It's costly. But we're talking about things that were decided by people who would do anything for as long as they get something. They think like hardened criminals. For me, I really believe it could be emotional. But I think those people belong to jail. I really believe so, unless we begin to say you have done this, you must pay for that, these things will continue. The challenges that you are raising, say, in public ways, I mean, really, ever since I got to know that there's public work, there's always been people who look like myself, like yourself, who were expected to do the work to the best of their ability. That today, we're talking as if we went to one of the, you know, high, what is this, I mean, jails or prisons. I mean, we didn't treat. We employed people who had qualifications and looked very honest. As far as I'm concerned, I think there will be a need for probably considering inviting people to come and explain to the Portfolio Committee as to what happened. And I'm saying that because I'm sitting here, I see the confusion as to how must we approach your budget process next year. I'm completely confused. And I'm saying that even from a point that I'm a member of the ANC, the ruling party. If I were not to support your budget, it would be a crisis. What do we do? And that is why I asked the question to say, what do you think should happen? And that is why I'm asking that question, the way forward from here. We will indeed consider that. We will cooperate and will in fact ask and await the outcomes of the public protector investigation, the SIU investigation, and should anybody ask for any information, even with regards to this meeting, we'll not hesitate to provide any information. There's nothing that is a secret in our meeting. We're going to compile a report, we're going to make recommendations. We will probably get the report. However, I must say that it is making such a case that I'm not just disappointing, but depressing. And on this note, thank you very much for attending the meeting and the meeting. Thank you.